We're glad to see someone here this evening, Al. We want to welcome you in the name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. May you have a real blessing tonight. May the Lord speak to every one of your hearts as the word is presented. And we thank the Lord that we can come here tonight to just give him all the glory. We have our chorus we're going to start with. His name is wonderful. We're going to stand and sing it through twice. Let's stand.
You did such a good job last night. Continue the good work tonight. Sing it right out for them.
Yeah.
Now we're going to turn that songbook to sing one of our favorite hymns, 176, 176, Oh Believe It, 176. You're my big choir now. You've got to really sing it out tonight. Now everybody singing, join your heart to the Lord. You've got to believe it tonight, brother. Amen.
This is the story ever new, and it's wonderful and true. And the best thing you can do is believe it. It will calm your troubled breast and will give you peace and rest. It is all a good effect. Oh, believe it. Oh, believe it. Oh, believe it. Christ the time has come to be. From the sense that you serving Satan well, and intended for himself, and would have stood up in hell, I believe it. But the Savior, he drew near, and he sought my mad career, and he told me never fear, but believe it.
about our good friend and brother, Mr. Hubert Tillman, from Waterloo, Ontario, Canada, to lead us in prayer. Mr. Tillman.
Our Father, we would not come into thy presence in our own merits, but we come in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son. Thou hast told us that we should come in that name because we know that He is the darling of thy bosom, and that we are accepted in him. Tonight, our Father, as we seek again to give forth the gospel message, we realize that we're absolutely dependent upon thy Holy Spirit. We pray that thy Spirit might be very manifest in our midst. We pray, our Father, that he might search hearts, that he might go from heart to heart, and see the need that is in the heart, and that the message might be given forth that will satisfy the need that is in each heart. We thank thee, our Father, for the gospel that we have to proclaim. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he came from thy side, and that he lived among men a perfect life, so perfect that he was accepted of thee, that he could offer himself a sacrifice, and thou didst accept that sacrifice in our room instead. We thank thee, our Father, that he gave his life. He took our sins upon himself, and then he gave his life as a ransom for our sins. He went to the tomb, he rose again, and he's now at thy right hand, interceding for us. We pray, our Father, for each one who is in our gathering tonight, for each, the need of each one. Some have problems, some have illness, some are aged and infirm. Thou knowest the problems that are in each one's heart. We pray that thou wilt see the blessing for each one. We thank thee, our Father, for each one that is in our midst tonight. Some of our friends, our Father, who have come from other places and are interested in a work elsewhere, we pray thy blessing upon that work, wherever they are, that the gospel there might be effective in bringing the lost to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we pray for our brother. We pray thou give to him that which he needs tonight, make him conscious of thy presence with him, and we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified tonight through the salvation of some precious souls. So we pray it in his name. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Tillman. It's a great joy to have visitors tonight. We welcome you all. We're glad to have you. We'd like you please to sign our guest book as you go out. It's on the right side on the table going out. Give us your name and address so that from time to time we can let you know about our special meetings. Park of the Palms is famous for our Bible conferences. We have a Bible conference in the winter which lasts for 3 months, 13 weeks, 2 meetings a day, every day except Monday for 13 weeks, with a different speaker every week. And we really have deep, real, precious Bible teaching here. And so we'd like to send our brochures from time to time and let you know about these things. These present meetings, this special gospel series, will last all this week through, not Saturday night, but every other night, 7:30 through Sunday, through next Sunday night, with our brother, Mr. Sven Christensen, from Orlando. Of course, Mr. Christensen really comes from Denmark and spent many years in Canada, came over here when he was young, and he's worked and served the Lord in Canada. God has blessed him, but for the last 12 years, I expect he's been down in Orlando, Florida. And God has given him a great work down there. Good to have our brother Sven with us. Now, one or two little details, kind of local details. Every Tuesday morning, we call it our prayer meeting morning. We have a men's prayer meeting here in the chapel at 9:30 every Tuesday morning. Get about 20 men here praying and waiting upon God for His blessing. And then at 10:30, a women's prayer meeting down in the lounge, down by the lakeside, which they get about 30 to 40 women. But we believe in prayer, and God is answering our prayers. And then all through this week, during this gospel campaign week, we're having another special prayer meeting for the men, 2:30 here in the chapel. On Tuesday, the second Tuesday of each month, we have a birthday dinner. Tomorrow is the second Tuesday of the month. So at noon tomorrow, we'd like to invite you, if you care, to join us in our dining room. They were asking me tonight, how many for dinner tomorrow? I said 100, maybe 110. So come and spell the numbers, and there'll be plenty of food. But you know, we meet once a month, to celebrate our birthdays. And everybody who gets a birthday in that month, we sing happy birthday to them, you know. Fool around a bit and have some candles on a cake and blow them out. But we just enjoy ourselves. Because some people think we're a lot of old people at Park of the Pounds, but I think the singing tonight, for one thing, proves we're not old. We have a motto here, you know. We say, an old person is a person 15 years older than I am. Never mind how old I am. If I'm only 15, well, a person 30 seems pretty old to me. But when I'm 30, it's the fellow 45 that's old. And when I'm 45, I don't feel a bit older, but the man 60, he's old. And some of us are over 70, so we look upon these up in the 80s, but be careful, there's some in the 80s here, so I mustn't say it. But nobody's old here. But we admit one thing, we're getting older. But then that was true when we were 16, too, that we're getting older. So we try and keep young. Some of us swim every day, and we sing, and we just enjoy life at Park of the Farm. We wanted to come and enjoy our fellowship. If you can join us midday tomorrow at 12, please do so. And all the meetings this week, if you can come, we have plenty of these little handbill notices to give out. Plenty of them. They're on the table there. Get some and give them to your friends and invite them. And some more of the others to go in the windows and on the car windows and so on. There's plenty of them there. We just want everybody to know about these meetings, and we want everybody to come. So please tell your friends. So glad to have you with us. I think these are all our announcements. I turn the rest over to Mr. Morris Anderson. I sometimes call him Andy Morrison, and he doesn't like that, but his name is Morris Anderson, and we're so glad to have him leading our singing. So, Morris, you think he's going to perform on his own, isn't he? Thank you.
We're going to sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, number 41 in your songbook. We sing it crusade style. When it comes to the chorus, I think you all know that pretty well. It's flowed up there in the middle line there. This is my story, and so forth. Number 41. One of the blessed songs of Fanny Cross.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a
echoes of mercy, Mr.
This is Mr. Anderson and his zither. Mr. Anderson and his zither.
There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost, and you hurry along with a pleasure not you come dead, as you come dead, so cold. Have you come to the cross if your soul should be lost, so you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have drawn, have you come there? Have you come there? You may fall to your hope of eternity's morn, for a moment of joy at the morn, for the glitter of sin and the sin it will win. Have you come to the cross if your soul should be lost, though you gained the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, while the door of His mercy is open to you, ere the depth of His love you explore, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, "I am"? I have counted.
had you come to the call, did your sword be wrong? Though you gave the whole world for your own, even though it may be that the Lord
so much. I have two Bibles with me tonight. I don't know what that says. They're both the same. That is, they're both the King James Version, but I want to have two different scriptures before me tonight. So I don't have to be turning forth and back. Last night we spoke on two men that lost great possession. Now tonight we're speaking two martyrs. One in the Old Testament, one in the New, and so I'm going to speak about some of the comparisons between them first, and then I'll speak the main message on the one of these. How it illustrates what we have in the world today. Maybe I'll give you a little hint. Two religions. Now, if you have the answer for the two men, two masters, let's see your hand. One lady there, fine. Anybody else? Mrs. Lacey, I see you got your hand up. Would you be afraid to? I know, what? Okay. Abel? He's very good. You had both. Did you have both of those? Did you have both? Right. Now then, tomorrow night, and that's an easy one. Two men who went to heaven without dying. That's really easy. Wednesday night may not be so easy. This is the opinion here, maybe. Two sheep of sinners. One in the Old Testament, one in the New. And I want you to keep in mind these are two sheep of sinners that can save. That makes it a little harder, doesn't it? Keep that in mind. There's all kinds of bad fellows back there, but some of them didn't get saved. Others of them were saved. These were men that were real candidates, were real much against the Lord, and they were completely turned about. One of the old and one of the new. Then Thursday night, three fools of the Bible. Three definite men. Then on Friday night we're going to talk about two great big ships. Two ships and their lessons. And Sunday night, two Jewish kings on whom was pronounced judgment. And it was executed. Fulfilled to the very scripture. Very, very exactly fulfilled. Now then, you have your Bible, turn first to the book of Genesis chapter 3, chapter 4, rather. We'll just read a few verses here. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin offering lieth at the door. Unto thee shall it be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when there was a field. And Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother crying unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which had opened the mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And so on. Verse 14, behold, thou hast delivered me out this day. Now, in Hebrews 11, I'll just read one verse there, verse 4, where we get the commentary of God, the Holy Spirit, about Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead, yet speaking. And then in Acts chapter 7, we have the martyrdom of Stephen, the first man to die, that is recorded, died for the sake of the Lord Jesus. I want to give you a few comparisons between these two men. And I think they're several. I marked down 8. You may find others. Or think of others. How these two men compare. The first thing is they were both obedient to the divine revelation as to their approach to God. They both came by faith. Abel believed God. He was justified by faith. God says to Adam and Eve, the way you come is by the sacrifice through the shedding of blood, putting on the skin, coat of skin, and that message was relayed to Abel, and he believed that he had approached God by the offering of the lamb. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And in Acts, chapter 6 and verse 5, you read that when Stephen was chosen, he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. He was a man that had trusted the Lord Jesus and a man full of the Holy Spirit. If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. There were two men that believed the revelation of God concerning salvation. The approach was not by works, but by faith. Secondly, both had a testimony for God. Both had a testimony for God. In chapter 4 of Genesis, verse 4, it says, "And Abel, or he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof." And we read in Hebrews 11 how God, he had this testimony that he was accepted of God. He was accepted in his sacrifice. So he had a testimony. He being dead yet speaketh. And Stephen, he certainly had a testimony for God. Look at Acts chapter 6. Probably wise to hold your finger open and go to both these places. Verse 10. "They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." Verse 15. "And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face, as it had been the face of an angel." And all chapter 7 is a sermon by Stephen, testifying to the grace of God. Luke had a real testimony for God. I wonder, do you have a testimony for God? Are you tonight trusting only in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus like these men were? Thirdly, the book hated by those who trusted in their own works. The book hated by those who trusted in their own works. And that's always the case. It's not till after you're saved that those who are trusting in works will turn against you. I remember when I got saved, I had some religious friends before I was saved. People I kind of looked up to, they were religious. And I thought, when they hear about me getting saved, they'll be so happy. And to my amazement, they were the ones to turn against me. They had religion, but they didn't have Christ. And so, these two men were both hated. By men that trusted in the work. Cain bought the works of his own hand. These religious leaders that Stephen was addressing were men that were trusting in their own righteousness, having a righteousness of their own, a kind of going about to establish their own righteousness, Paul said. And these are the people that are mostly at enmity against God. My friend, there's more people going to hell or religion than anything else. I hope you're not here tonight just with religion. Because religion can keep you from God. The first time I ever heard the gospel was in Halifax, Nova Scotia. First time I ever remember hearing the gospel clearly. As my brother and I were there together, he was 2.5 years older than I am. I'm the baby of the family. Not a very young baby anymore. But as we came to the door, he recognized we were strangers, and he shook our hands, and he said to my brother who was leading the way, he said, "Are you saved, boys?" And my brother said, "We have our own church." Out he went, and I right after him. "We have our own church." It was an armor against the gospel, sort of. Be careful that you have nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Then they were both accosted by those who resisted and rejected the truth. Look at Genesis 4, 6, and 7. Cain is what is offering, you remember. God had no respect to it. And Cain, in verse 7, was given an opportunity to bring a sin offering. But he rejected that offer. And Stephen, addressing these men in Acts 7, verse 51, he says, "Say, ye stiff-necked and circumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost that your father did, so do ye." They resisted the truth of God. It's a terrible thing to resist the truth of God. Be careful if you're here tonight and you're not saying you don't resist it just once too many. These are being offered and crude, and his hand and neck shall suddenly cut off, and that without remedy. They resisted the truth. Number five, folk were accosted by ones whom God said their works were evil. Now I have a couple of scriptures in connection with that. Turn back, turn to the 11th chapter of Luke. The 11th chapter of Luke, and I want to tie it in with one in the 1st John. And also with this one about Stephen, so you'll see the connection. The 11th chapter of Luke, and we'll begin at verse 45, just the last part. He says, here these lawyers, they're saying to the Lord, Master, thou sayest, now he spoke to us also. And he said, woe unto ye, all to ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers kill them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for ye indeed kill them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore, to test the wisdom of God, I'll send the prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the temple. Look at the wicked works again in verse 52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge, ye entered within yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. Wicked works. Now turn to 1 John. The first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. So we see they were accosted by one whom God said had works that were evil. And look at Acts 7:52 and 53 connect with Stephen. He says here to them, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? Doesn't that sound the same as you get in Luke? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. You talk about a man who was courageous. You know, Stephen is the full man. Full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of power, full of courage, full of the Word of God. He's a full man. In the right sense. And he charges them with their wicked works. And that brings on more. Number six. Both were accosted and killed by angry foes. In chapter 4 of Genesis, verse 5, and it says, Cain was very wroth. And he was very angry. And I'll tell you, friend, if you'll not repent of the gospel and you'll cover up yourself with your own righteousness, and when you hear the gospel and it denounces you in the presence of God, you're nothing but the Lord's sinner, you become angry. And they became angry, and the result of his anger in verse 8, he talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and he slew him. In Acts chapter 7, verse 54, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. This is all about people being angry, gnashing with their teeth. Verse 57, they cried out with a loud voice, they stopped their ears, and they ran upon him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes on a young man's feet whose name was Paul. So both were killed by angry folks. We might say both died for their faith. That's what a martyr is. Both died for their faith. And then, lastly, both preached after their death. That's in Hebrews 11, verse 4, he being dead yet speaking. And you know in Acts chapter 22 and verse 20, when Paul gives his testimony, he refers, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by. That scene of the death of Stephen, his face looking like an angel looking up into the face of Jesus, the face of Jesus was reflected on the face of Stephen. And that scene never left Paul, and it left his conversion. He being dead, yet speaking. And so his servant still preaches on, if you read and study the book of Acts chapter 7, how that man still speaks on. Well, let's turn now to the book of Genesis. We have a little bit about the two religions. In chapter 3, we have the first sin. Chapter 4, we have the first crime. I suppose Cain has been watching television. Seeing some of these murders going on. Is that how he learned to murder his brother? Maybe he'd been reading them all in the newspaper and read about some of these murders. Thought he'd do the same at all. There was no television for him to watch. There was no newspaper for him to read. There were none of these wild stories, murdersome stories for him to read. Well, how in the world did he know how to murder someone? By one man's sin entered into the world. It's the product of sin. The first man born from Adam and Eve was a murderer. Now we want to quickly look at five things. First, the two obelisks. Cain and Abel. Secondly, their prompting, so what led them to bring the offering? Then the two offerings themselves. The two results. And lastly, the message to us. First, the two offerings. The both sons of the same parents. Both at the same opportunity. Cain, he was the first child. Just think of it, everything he's born, when Cain was born, he's born this beautiful little baby. Held close by his mother. She said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Already to have taken God and fulfilling his promise about the Messiah. But hidden in that boy's heart was that thing called sin. Right in there. So you tell a mother that's a new baby, there's another little sinner, because that's not a vain. They don't like that too well. Now you can understand it, but it's true. There's another little sinner. With all the potential of what's in the wicked heart. Desperately wicked. Deceitful above all things. That lovely little baby, my friend, that she brought into the world became a murderer. Because it was right in him. People are born sinners. I got it from my father, he's from his father, going right back to Adam. You never have to teach a child to lie. You never have to teach them to steal or to fight or get into trouble, into mischief. You don't have to teach them anything like that. just comes out just as natural as a piece of cotton being poured wheat without sowing it. You have to sow your wheat in your garden? No. It's right there. That's the result of sin, and that's the evidence. And it's natural for a sinner to sin. Just as it's natural for a cursed earth to produce weeds and thistles and all kinds of stuff like that. Now this boy, he came from a home that recognized God, that had dealings with God. He had a very godly father. But you can have godly brothers, you can have a godly husband, you have a godly dad and mother, you can have all kinds of godly relations and go to hell yourself. It's not a question of who you're related to, humanly speaking, it's a question of who you're related to, divinely speaking. You have to be rightly related to the Lord. Be in an honorable occupation. The tiller of the ground, a farmer. And furthermore, he was a religious fellow. Very religious. Now his brother had the same background, lived in the same home, brought up, taught the same way. He was a shepherd, the first shepherd. Because he's a beautiful picture to the Lord Jesus in that aspect. Here you have the two offers, two boys with all the same opportunities. Now what made them bring the offering? What prompted them? The sense of guilt. They knew in their hearts that they were sinners. And they knew that they had to be made bring something that would make them acceptable to God. Now they had been given the revelation how to be accepted in Genesis chapter 3 verse 21. Adam also and his wife did, the Lord God made coats unto them, he made coats of skin and clothed them. I'm just as sure as I'm standing here tonight that Adam and Eve passed this message on. How else would Abel have known? They both got the same message. They both understood that. They realized they must bring an offering. But you know, Cain was one of these fellows that he felt he knew better. There's some people, you know, you can't tell them anything. They know it all. They get a little bit of education. They get lined up on a few sort of brilliant professors and so forth, and some of the good old-fashioned teaching they've had, they sort of throw it out the door, and they say, these are people, they're only old folks. We know better. We're a new generation, and so on. With all that human philosophy and wisdom. Cain was one of these folks. Now Cain, the two offerings, Cain's offering was probably much more beautiful than Abel's. The best that he could produce. Beautiful fruit and vegetables. I can just picture in my mind a beautiful basket. Something you'd like to see caught in the Thanksgiving time. Why would he be proud of that? He's coming to present this thing he worked so hard for, to produce and to present to the Lord. Work of his own hand. Awfully beautiful, but my friend, there's something definitely wrong here. It was offered in self-will. He bought what he thought was the Lord should have. In disobedience to the revelation of God. In self-will. That's how he bought his offering. But notice in verse 5, but under Cain and his offering, God had not respect. Couldn't accept it. But what about Abel? It was the firstling of the flock in there. Why, I like that. Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock. Verse 4. Now, This wasn't a very beautiful thing to take a little lamb and kill it and shed its blood and pour it out. But this is what God asked for. God says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. It's the blood that maketh the atonement. When you come, you must come and bring an offering. So a king came and he built his altar and he put that lamb on there slain and shedding its blood. Abel said like this, Lord, I'm a sinner. I have no righteousness of my own, but this lamb is dying in my room and in my stead. He's taking my place. And he laid his hands upon the lamb. He identified himself with the lamb and he said, Lord, accept me in my offering. And that's exactly what God did according to Hebrews 11. God accepted Abel in his offering. And so we accepted in Christ, as we said last night. We accepted in all the loveliness of Christ. And this lamb pointed forward to Christ. That's why John, when he came to the scene and he saw the Lord Jesus, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. Here's the one that Abel lamb speak about. An able lamb, of course, would have been a poor deal, whatever, unless it was pointed forward to the cross. Before the cross, they looked forward. They were saved by grace through faith, just the same as we're saved today. True blood, true sacrifice, true grace alone. He says, I'm not bringing anything of my own or within my own work. There's a lamb you'll give life to. And that lamb has laid down his life for me. It's dying for me. And God accepted him. God had respect for his offering. He accepted him in his offering. Friends, that's the simple way of salvation. As we have it there in Hebrews 11. Let me read it for you once more. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which, by the offering, he obtained witness that he was righteous. He was righteous. He was accepted in that offering. God testifying of his gift. God vindicated him. And by it he vindicated his people. Tonight, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, He that hath the Son hath life. The one who was made sin for us, who knew no sin, we become the righteousness of God in him. That's beautiful. That's a tremendous thing to be saved, to be accepted in the beloved. And that's what Abel was. Now notice the two results. Cain was refused by God. Verse 5 says that. Then the attitude of Cain was so bad here. But God admonishes him. Isn't the Lord long-suffering? Even though after he became angry, you accepted Abel, but you wouldn't accept mine. God says you can still bring a sin offering. I can only accept you like that. And friend, listen, tonight, the only way God can accept you is in Christ. I don't care how good you are, how religious you are, how many good works you bring to God, how much money you may give to God, how much everything else you may bring to God. God cannot accept it. Leave it all and come and just trust the Lord Jesus. That's the only thing. But this man, instead of listening to the grace of God, the loving entreaties of God, he went out and he slew his brother. Terrible thing. What an awful thing took place there. And then he gets sorry for himself. Notice, Abel, he was accepted, commended,
speaks.
The same today. God still says sin it the same way. Now, what's the lesson for us tonight? There's a few practical lessons here. Look at verse 9. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide your sins from God. God is concerned. Last night we spoke about God calling after Adam. Adam, where art thou? Tonight he's asking a question again. Where is Abel, thy brother? Well, the good practical application we're talking about the house tonight, one of the assistants pointed out. Speaking to us as Christians, where is thy brother tonight? Where's your loved one? Are they saved? But here was a question of probing, seeking to convict him of his sin. Where's your brother? Will you own up to it? And like his father, he covers up. Like sinners, they want to cover up. Where is Abel thy brother? I want a straight answer. And one sin leads to another. He lies. After he murdered, he lies. He says, I know not. A bold, brazen lie. I know not. Be sure your sin will find you out. Jude 11 warns us of the way of Cain. Little book, Jude, verse 11. Speaks about going the way of Cain. What's the way of Cain? You're trying to get saved by your own work. Putting aside the message and the revelation of God, going your own way, trying to be saved by your own righteousness. That's going the way of Cain. And I'll tell you, friend, it'll lead to the same end of Cain. A judgment was pronounced about him. He'll be back upon his heel, wander the earth, and he went out from the presence of the Lord. Banished from God. All the things. The awfulness of hell, the lake of fire will be forever separated from God, banished from God. Outside, in eternal darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There'll be another kind of gnashing of teeth. They gnashed on Stephen with their teeth. Sinners that have rejected the simple way of salvation in hell will gnash their teeth being in torment and cursing God. But it will not change the location. They'll still be there. Forever. Ever and ever. Go not in the way of Cain. Learn from Abel, who's willing to admit that he was a sinner, willing to offer a lamb, and God is now a lamb offered for you already, the Lord Jesus, who's been offered to you once for all in the end of the age, as he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And God will accept you in this lamb. Wonderful that is. And you can be saved tonight. You need to be saved. If you're not born again, if you're not washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have not had an experience, a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are tonight, how good you are, how religious you are, unless you're saved, you can't get in. I was visiting a couple, and I'll say this in closing the other night. And this woman, she really loves her husband. And she just feels that he's pretty much perfect. He's been such a good man, so kind, so good to everybody, he's even kind to his so-called enemy. And she says to me, would a good man like that have to be saved? Wouldn't he be all right? So I told her the story of Nicodemus. A man was so good, so religious, such a fine, honorable man, a member of the highest court in the Jews, among the Jews, member of the Sanhedrin. The Lord Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Except the man be born from above, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If anybody could get in by being religious or being by good, surely Nicodemus could have get in. The Lord said to him, Nicodemus. There's two religions tonight, friends. Man's religion and God. Man's ways and God's ways. Cain's way and Abel. Cain is man's way. His own wise way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Cain. But there's God's way, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Will you come, God? We're going to be praying at the group sings the invitation hymn. After singing, why not right there in your seat tonight, if you're not saved, say, Lord, I want to be like Abel tonight. I admit I'm a sinner. And I accept the Lamb you provided, the Lord Jesus Christ, as my substitute, the one that died for me. Will you do that? Are they saying we're going to be praying that you will? Tonight, we thank thee, the Lord Jesus is calling, come home. And we pray someone tonight, dear Lord Jesus, I'm coming home tonight. I'm tired of the life I've been living and covering up with my own leaves of my own righteousness, going my own way like Cain. Tonight I turn to thee and accept the Lord Jesus, who said he's the way, the truth, and the life. And I ask thee, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart now. May someone truly pray that from their heart tonight. Use thy word to thy glory in every part of the service. Grant, Lord, no one will leave here unsaved tonight. Grant through thy help and thy blessing in the days to come, the Christians might work and pray to get others in under the sound of the gospel. We just cast ourselves upon thee. Lord, we cry to thee to work. We just commend ourselves to thee now, in our Lord Jesus' name. When thou really work in every heart in these closing moments, we pray in our Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, if you would like to talk to me tonight, I'll be at the back. And there's a room just to the little book nook in there. Ask us to win it that night. It'd be fine to go in there. If you'd like to have a private talk, just step in there. We'll go in and meet you in there. Thank you.